Chapter number one, the Gospel of John, chapter number one. We'll read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared him. May God bless each and every time we come together in God's house and have his word before us and be gathered together as a body of believers, looking to him, trusting in him, that his word would go forth to his people and that we all could be edified and built up in our faith, drawn closer unto him, be refreshed in the spirit, and glorify him for all the great things that he has done for us. The psalmist in Psalm 118 wrote, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good. And we see throughout scriptures the goodness of the Lord. His goodness is referred to often. His works are referred to as good. And truly, he is a good God. And so we rejoice in him. And the psalmist reminds us to rejoice in him. So as we have this opportunity to be together and hear of God's word and hear of him who has done great things, we are encouraged to give thanks unto the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Forever. A concept we simply cannot fully grasp. We say it over and over because there's always a beginning and an end with almost everything that we are involved with in this life. Everything has a beginning and an end. But forever is a concept that's just simply difficult for us to grasp. But here the word of the Lord is saying that we give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And it just comes, and it comes, and it's new every morning. And we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord for his great blessings that he has given unto each and every one of us. But we read in scriptures that man is not good. We read in scriptures that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And we see that throughout scriptures, we see that throughout our lifetime, that man of himself is corrupt. We see that, you know, even when Jesus did great miracles, man didn't give the proper glory to the Lord often in many cases. Think of the time that the man that was born blind was miraculously healed And the man that was born blind even confessed that there has never been one who could open the eyes of him that was blind. But man, being contentious, man who fought against the Lord, discredited the miracle that the Lord had done. And this man that was born blind, he just received a great miracle. He's seeing for the first time, and he has to see men who are contentious, men who are discrediting the Lord. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye take away the key of knowledge, and you enter not in yourselves, and those that are entering in ye hinder." This is man. Man is not good of himself. With the Spirit of the Lord in him, surely he is good, because the goodness of the Lord comes forth. And so we yield ourselves to the goodness of the Lord and to his Spirit. And we see again, going back to that psalm, that we give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. And we see his mercy played out over and over. There were times when there would be a cripple in the presence of Pharisees and of the Lord. And the Pharisees would just have a spirit that wasn't compassionate. But they were, is he going to heal on the Sabbath day? Is he going to work on the Sabbath day? No compassion. No desire that this man would be freed from his ailments. That's man. But God is good. But God is good. And he loved us. He loved us so. We read that in chapter 3, verse 16 of this book that we read this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the love of God, that he would give of his only begotten Son. That's the love of God. That's of his mercy. And we see that mercy over and over, that as we would believe in him, we would not need to perish, and that eternally, but that we could have life, and that more abundantly in Jesus Christ. There are so many songs that speak of the goodness of the Lord and all that he does for us. And one that comes to mind says that amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. That's our God, full of mercy, and his mercy endures forever. We didn't deserve his amazing grace. We didn't deserve his pity. We didn't deserve his love. But he gave it to us, and he blessed us with it. This chapter that we read together is written by one of the apostles, the Apostle John. He was one who was called early into the ministry as Jesus was walking past and called the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, John being the one. And they immediately left their nets and followed the Lord. And they followed him closely. And they witnessed his miracles. They witnessed his words. And he brought it forth. As he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things of which he interacted with the Lord. And so he writes, in the beginning, from the very beginning, just as Genesis starts off and it says, in the beginning. And the epistles that he wrote, the first epistle, he writes also that in the beginning, from the very beginning, from the very start, as we would understand it, from the very start, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and the Father were one, even from the very beginning. And the scriptures lay that out very clearly. But again, even from the very beginning, we see the goodness of the Lord. We see that the Lord is good. Even from when he created the garden, and when he had given life, and when he had created all things, it was all good, even from the very beginning. Jesus here is referred to in this chapter as God, as he was with God, and the Word was God. And there are other scriptures that refer to our Lord as such, as part of the Godhead. In Colossians chapter 2, we read, "For in him, in Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Referring to Jesus Christ, that in him, he was fully part of the Godhead and even in fullness. And he was part of the Godhead that had come here upon this earth. The Word speaks of Jesus, even in this chapter, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." This would not be God the Father, but this would be God the Son. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." The same was in the beginning with God. From the very beginning, there was God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they were there as at creation. And beautiful things happened even in that time during that creation, as the Lord was, our Lord Jesus was with God and part of creation. And where it says here in verse number 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So we see that even in the third verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, where it says that God created light, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. And again, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. "All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. Without him was not anything made that was made." We go back again to Psalms, and we read that the earth is the fullness is of the fullness of the Lord, and the world and the people therein. Let me actually just read that verse, because the exact wording isn't coming to mind. "The earth is the Lord's; it all belongs to the Lord, because he is the creator of all things. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Everything that we see and everything that we cannot see, it all belongs to the Lord. He has spoken it into place. And when he had spoken it into place, he saw that it was good. Because he is good. And he created those things which are good. "So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We are his creation. We belong to him. And again, the scriptures speak clearly to that, that we are his creation. We are not our own, we are his. And so ours is to believe in him and to glorify him. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In Jesus Christ was the fullness of life. He is life. He created life. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We see, again, throughout scriptures, and just simply referencing scripture with scripture and seeing of the Lord and who he is in terms of having life and how he gives life through the through light. In chapter 5 of this book, it says, "For the Father," Jesus Christ speaking, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have a life in himself." The Son had life in of himself, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus brought forth life. Jesus brought forth light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus Christ is here is bringing light and life to each and every one of us. Because he is good, because his mercy endures forever. This is the God we serve, and we rejoice in him, and we give thanks unto him continuously, because his mercies are new every morning, and because he gives life, because he gives light, and we do not have to dwell in darkness, but we can dwell in light, in the light that Jesus Christ can give. Jesus Christ said, I am come to give life, and that more abundantly. We can have life and light in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of Jesus Christ is powerful that it dispels all darkness, the darkness of Satan. And so we give thanks to God who hath called us into his marvelous light, called us out of the darkness, called us out of the power of Satan unto the power of God. This light, the light of Jesus Christ, shines forth. And think of the time when Saul was on his way to Damascus and he was ready to persecute the church that was there, and the Lord Jesus Christ showed up to him in the middle of the day. The brightness of the sun was shining, and in the middle of the day, the Apostle Paul says that the brightness of Jesus was brighter than the sun at midday. This is the light of the world. This is the light of Jesus Christ. And that light shone forth and dispelled the darkness that was in Saul and brought him to be one who would bring forth the gospel message to the Gentiles and to all peoples and write scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. There was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. The Lord had it planned, even prophesied from old time, that there would be one who would come and prophesy of the coming of the light of men who gives life. And that was John the Baptist. And he came to bear witness of that light, the light of Jesus Christ, that all men through him might believe. The purpose of John the Baptist coming was to proclaim the gospel, to tell them to repent and to be baptized and walk in newness of life. And the Apostle John and John the Baptist of themselves clearly identified that John the Baptist was not the light. He was bearing witness of that light, but he was not that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Wonderful thought, beautiful thought, that Jesus Christ, that true light, he lights every man that cometh into the world. Again, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is the Lord's doing, and truly it's marvelous in our eyes. We rejoice in what the Lord has done, that his light would shine forth in our hearts, in our lives, and dispel all darkness, dispel the wickedness, and dwell in us in fullness and giving us light and life. The Lord God brought forth light, and that light shone forth in the brightness of his love, the brightness of his mercy, the brightness of the forgiveness of sins, the brightness of pity, and it was all in the face of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. He was that true light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The God creator came and dwelt within his own creation. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish people, but yet he came to all mankind, that they might believe. Especially the Jewish people who knew the law, who knew what the prophets had said, that there would become one that would come and bring forth life, the Messiah. They knew of him, but they received him not. They received him not. Yet the Bible here says further, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is the glory of the Lord. That as we come to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the life giver, that he is the light of this world, that he can give forgiveness of sins, that as we receive him, that we now have the power to become the sons of God. Truly a wonderful gift. Truly the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Truly a wonderful thought. Truly the hope and the joy of the Christian, that we can become the sons and the daughters of God as we believe in Jesus Christ. He gives us this power to become the sons of God. Ours is to have faith in him and to believe in his goodness, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We were born again by the will of God. He who created all things, he who spoke the worlds into place and created all things seen and unseen, we can be born of him, born again, not as a corrupt man, but one who is born again in the Spirit, who walks in his ways, who believes in Jesus Christ, who glorifies him, who yields himself unto the Lord, who crucifies them their flesh, takes up their cross, and follows the Lord. We can be born again, born of God, born according to his will, to do his pleading. Further here, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." He who created all things came and dwelt as creation among creation. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Apostle John here in parentheses says, and we saw his glory. We beheld it. We saw it all. We saw his miracles. We saw how he spoke parables. We saw how he spoke wonderful truths. We saw the transfiguration. We saw him turn bright white. We saw the light of Jesus Christ. We saw him bring forth Lazarus to life again. We saw him bring Jairus' daughter to life again. We saw him bring the widow only son back to life again. We saw the water turned to wine. We beheld his glory. John's saying, we beheld it. We saw it. And it's the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And he was full of grace and truth. This is our Lord. This is our Lord who loves us. This is our Lord whose mercy endures forever because he is good. He's full of grace and truth. The grace of the Lord. When we receive of his divine favor, when we didn't deserve it, we haven't done nothing good of ourselves that the Lord says, okay, now I'll dispense grace to this individual. We've done nothing good of ourselves. It's of the Lord's goodness that he dispenses unto us, gives unto us grace, and to be exposed to his truth and to know what his will is in all things. That's our Lord, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake, that cometh after me, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me." He was before me. Even as we read here earlier, that the same was in the beginning with God, that Jesus was always there. And therefore he made that declaration to the Jewish people, and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus was always there. And then it says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." The fullness of the Lord. He who was with God, he who was God, he who was with God from the beginning, God the Father from the very beginning. We have received of his fullness. In Colossians we read, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." The fullness of deity, the fullness of divinity was in Jesus Christ. And we have received of that fullness and of his goodness. There was no measure of love, measure of pity that was withheld from us. But we have received of his fullness. And grace for grace, grace that was given on top of grace to each and every one of us. Again, we've done nothing good of ourselves to deserve God's favor, his divine favor. There was nothing good of ourselves that Jesus Christ would take upon himself, flesh and blood, come here upon this earth and be ridiculed and mocked and challenged and ultimately crucified by wicked men. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, outside of Jesus Christ. But there were those who did yield themselves to Jesus Christ. And here we can see that in the Apostle John, and John the Baptist. As they yielded themselves to the Lord, the goodness of the Lord came forth, being born again of God. And so we have received of God grace for grace, grace on top of grace, an abundant measure of grace. Truly, we are thankful for that. Truly, that is what gives us inspiration and grace to carry on because of his great love that he has for us. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came, and what it did was it gave us a revelation of our sin. Our sin is what brings death. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And so the law brought forth a revelation of our sin. But grace and truth, which came by Jesus Christ, that's the revelation of the forgiveness of sin. His grace that was bestowed upon us. His grace that we should be called sons and daughters of God. His grace that was bestowed upon us came. And that's the revelation of the forgiveness of sin. This is the truth. Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is truly life. And we have life through him and through him alone. And so as we have received grace for grace, that's the revelation of the forgiveness of sins that we can have. And then that brings forth eternal life. When we can be forgiven of our sins, when those things that that belong to us, that we have ownership of, those sins, when they can be forgiven, then we have eternal life through Jesus Christ because of his truth, because of his grace. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ came here and brought forth the words of God the Father, and brought them forth that we might have life. And he brought forth these truths. And sometimes he spoke it in parables, and sometimes he simply spoke the truth in a manner where the people could understand. And there was a time when when 5,000 were fed, and they rejoiced in the works of the Lord. They rejoiced in him. But they tended to more rejoice in that which was of an earthly sense that they were satisfied with. And so Jesus Christ, after they were fed, says to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's why you sought me, because you ate of those of that bread, and it filled you. And Jesus says, "I came in fullness, not for bread's sake, not for meat and drink, but for the fullness of the Spirit. And then he says to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus Christ, the light of life, came to bring us life, and he's saying, you need to partake of my flesh and drink of my blood. And the people there, they didn't understand it. They were confused. They just filled themselves with all those loaves of bread, and there was some to spare. And now Jesus is saying, you need to partake of me. You need to eat of me if you want life, and drink of my blood. And they didn't understand it. And then finally, at the very end, after they asked a couple times, and they were just saying, it's a hard saying. Who can hear this? He says to them, and he clarifies, and he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. These things that we know that always have a beginning and an end, he says it profits nothing. Think long, long term. Think of that which is eternal. He's saying the flesh profiteth nothing. And then he clarifies and says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus' word that he brought forth, they bring life. They bring forth life. They are light. They are spirit. And so it was that after the disciples here that had been filled with the loaves of bread, when they heard this saying, it says that many of them turned back and followed Jesus no more. And at that moment, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, will you also go away? And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ, who is life, who brought forth the light of life into our hearts that we could have the forgiveness of sins and be saved, desires that we would believe in him, that we would glorify the Lord by our belief in him. Truly, Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. Truly, Jesus Christ is the Word. Truly, Jesus Christ brings forth life and light and grace and truth, and we rejoice in him. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Amen.